Well, people don't do that. They don't sit down and think, all right, you know, let's figure it out. You've got a life. It's hard, obviously. It's like 3 years from now, you can have what you need. You've got to be careful about it. You can't have everything. You can have what would be good for you, but you have to figure out what it is, and then you have to aim at it.
Hey, you're joining us today on the My First Amendment podcast. My name is Christopher Ash, also known as Jaxton Wheeler. Today I have with me Ty on X. You can find him on Ty Tough Talk. Now, I found your profile. You know, X, you know, formerly known as Twitter, is it's a big like I could say clusterfuck of different personalities.
I think that's, you know, fair.
I'd say I'm very, very thankful that Elon Musk took the shit over. Because I don't know anybody in their right mind that would feel comfortable with the CIA and FBI censoring everybody's free speech.
No.
You know what I mean?
No, so I totally agree with you.
Absolutely. So, Ty, from what I gathered, you said you're 29 years of age.
Yes, sir.
And, before we dive into our main topic here, and what I really wanted to discuss is I noticed that you and I are both kind of on the same page as far as how we feel about the LGBT community. Not so the community, right? But the movement of LGBT.
Well, it's hard to define the community really when it comes to that. So when I say the community, I like to just lean in, call it the gay community, and only talk about the gay people, because I don't like the kind of the forced teaming that everybody kind of does,
right,
with the whole LGBT, ABC, XYZ, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you know?
Yep.
And it's just one of those things that I think needs to be separate most of the time. And so in general, the LGBT, like you said, is more of like a movement kind of existing, like, or an agenda. I don't know what people want to say, but it's one of those things. So it's not really anything that's indicative of a community anymore, what I really think of.
Absolutely. No, I fully agree with you. Now, before we dive into that topic, because that's a loaded fucking one right there of a discussion.
It's old already.
We can probably talk all night about it. But you know, first I want people to kind of get to know you a little bit. You know, looking into you a little bit, I noticed here that you mentioned you have a master's in political science.
I do, yeah. From Florida State.
What college did you get that from?
Yeah, Florida State University.
Fuck yeah.
Thanks.
I'm a Florida boy, so hey, everything here has been all right, you know. And then it also says you're an aspiring attorney.
Yes, sir.
Are you still pursuing that?
Yeah. No, I'm just studying, getting ready for the bar. So I'm not taking it this July, but I'll be taking it in February. So I'm pretty excited about that. Well, not really excited, dreading it actually. But if we're really being honest, it's not really being excited. But other than that, yeah. So I just finished law school. So it's one just transitioning into being a real person.
Well, congratulations, yeah. Dude. I can say I'm a little envious. I wish I would have thought better for myself and may have gone that route with how much I like to fucking argue.
Well, I mean, if you went to, it's never too late. I mean, in my family, my grandma went to law school and she was like 50. And my dad was in the military for like 30 years. And then after the fact went into law school and has been an attorney, I don't know, for like a decade now. So
don't tell me that I might drop everything into.
No, it's what I'm saying. It's like I always tell people that it's like if you have a dream or you have a thought, like, just go for it. But I will say it is hard. So if you're down to cry for a year and then suffer for two more,
that's it.
Yeah, it's 3 years. Yeah.
See, here I am thinking it's like an 8-year process or
No. Really? I mean, it's like 7 years if you really do it all at once without any like master's degree detours, because you have to do your undergrad, obviously. So it's like that's 4 and then 3. So that's 7.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Now, it also says you speak 3 languages.
Yeah.
Would you mind telling
so
us?
So I speak German from growing up, speaking German as a kid with my family. Like, my grandma's from Germany, my dad speaks German. I lived in Germany for a while when from when I was a little kid. I went to a little school in Germany that was an only German school. My dad was there for the military. And it was just one of those things. It was like full immersion kind of thing.
Yeah.
I did learn a lot. And then I spoke with my grandma a lot growing up. And it's just one of those things. I still talk to my brother and my dad, like, what if we want to have like secrets, it's how we talk and stuff like that. And then I learned Spanish in high school because my mom, because like I took German again when I got to back to America, to confirm that you have like the language credit, you have to take the years of school. You can't just be like, I know German. Like, you know what I mean? So yeah. I took German, and which it wasn't that difficult, but I was done with it by the time I was even starting high school, because I started it really early. Yeah. So I'd already done the 3 years, but it counted. So my mom was like a pusher, and she wanted me to keep going and do more things. So she was like trying to force me to take like Chinese or something. And I was like, there is no way in hell that I'm going to be able to learn Chinese, like no fucking way. So we settled on Spanish.
25,000 characters, right?
Oh, right. Yeah. If that, right. And then there's like three different languages of Chinese or whatever the fuck, I don't even know. Anyway. So it's like, it's just that kind of thing where I was absolutely not going to do that. And luckily I went to a high school that had a bunch of different languages. I just wasn't going to take Chinese. So I took Spanish.
Absolutely. No, that's amazing. Can I ask, where in Germany were you?
Oh, so I was in Stuttgart, which is down in the southwest near Switzerland.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, dude. You know, one of the things I say is with when it comes to people in the United States, we already start off behind, because most of, like, once you travel outside this country, most people are at least, the very least, dual-lingual.
Yeah, bilinguals. Yeah.
Bilingual. See what I mean?
You know, you're fine.
We don't practice.
I think those are both words that I think they're both the same. They're
if it's only two, you say dual.
Yeah, you can say the same thing, yeah.
But yeah, I spent some time, and not as a kid, in my adult years, in Berlin. I had hoped to move to Berlin.
Oh, cool.
But then the pandemic happened.
Ah.
Yeah.
Huh. Like in Zambitz in Deutsch?
Oh, dude. I dated a girl from Berlin for about 6 months. And I got to tell you what, as an adult, you know that what it's very true. It's much easier to learn these languages as a kid.
Yeah.
When you don't have a full schedule and an overwhelmed brain.
Mm-hmm.
Spanish is easy.
No, yeah. I agree with you. Spanish is so much easier. It's true. It's true.
Because German, it's not even a matter of learning the words. You have to learn how to speak in a different part of your mouth.
Mm-hmm. No, you get it 100%. No, because it's exactly like that. Yeah. No, my husband's been like, I want to learn German. And I'm like, you're going to have a really hard time.
Just and teach him the
he
necessary
speaks multiple languages to... already. So he's very confident and he thinks he's going to do it. And it's just like, all you speak are romance languages. I'm sorry. Like, it's going to be one of those things. Like, it's totally different. Like, it's going to be really hard. Mm-hmm. He's trying, but
just
he gets like stressed out, but
he
can't pronounce it
right. To direct the dogs.
What?
Just teach him what he needs to learn to direct the dogs.
Oh, exactly. Yeah.
It's very
yeah,
direct.
Order some food and a beer, and that's all you need. Then ask for the bathroom. But I think you've about got it covered.
Right. So now, were you born in the States or were you born overseas?
Oh, no, I was born in the States. Yeah.
All right. Where about in the States?
So I was born in Washington State.
Oh, shit.
Out west. And that's actually where I grew up for most of my childhood. So, well, my childhood was kind of an interesting, because my dad was always getting stationed other places. So we moved around a lot. But I did start there. And then when we moved to Hawaii, then we moved to Germany, and then we moved back to Seattle. And that's where I ended up staying, because then my parents got divorced, and then, mm-hmm. So then I stayed there with my mom, and then my dad like moved a couple more places, and then he retired.
I see now that you are in Miami. Is mm-hmm. that how long have you been in Florida?
So I've been in Florida since my parents got divorced. My dad moved here. He moved to Florida and then like set up like his permanent residence and stuff like that here, and then was like working in other states.
Smart move.
He, so since I was like 12, I would say. But my family's from Florida because my dad's from here. So I've been coming here my whole life. Like my grandparents live here. They've always been here in Tallahassee.
Oh, okay. All right. Awesome. A fellow Floridian, essentially.
More or less, yeah.
Oh, yeah. My family's from the St. Augustine area generationally.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
awesome.
Got moved to Maine when I was 10. That was a culture shock.
Breathing. Yeah.
You know, to me, it wasn't so much the cold. It was just a very different culture. You know, you grow up until you're 10. You're not quite in middle school learning about necessarily the history of the country at that point. And then you get up there and they're like, the South, she'll never rise again.
Exactly. And they're evil. Yeah.
That union education. And you're just like, oh, wow. Wow, I guess I didn't know.
No, I get you. I grew up in that Union North liberal.
I guess I was born into racism.
Yeah, I mean, you would think so. The way people talk about Florida in general is like they act like it's like when I say that I'm from Florida, the reaction is like a mixture of like that, like they look like I have the plague, or that I need to get checked into an asylum, or. That they need to rescue me, or it's like a whole it's like there's always the different reaction, but it's always one of them, and it's like it's something like that, or like it's a weird like forced pity or something, or it's like I don't even know, it's like what do you think we're suffering or something, like did I say I was suffering, like it's like I don't even know what people think, but
you know it doesn't help that what we have that thing that most other states don't have, I think like it's the freedom of information. Where,
oh yeah, the sunshine laws. They hate that. They can't stand it. Yeah. No.
So even if somebody like lied on a police report, it's still going into the news.
Yep, and it's all public record, and everyone's able to find it. Like it's and people don't get it. They have a fundamental like it breaks their brain. Like in states like up north, like New York or like in California, all these different places where everything's hard to get, and you have to like request it. I mean, technically you can get it. It's all public record, but it's like you have to go through these requests and. 8 bureaucrats later, you know what I mean? It's like
right. Most, I mean, and we're finding out almost half the country doesn't even know how to register to vote.
No, exactly. Especially like Scott Pressler, he's going on that big tour doing all that stuff. He's registered, I don't even know how many millions of people probably at this point.
So I also noticed on your page too, you seem to be pretty big into your own personal fitness. How long you been keeping up with that?
Well, I mean, I never really stopped. It was since I was a kid, I grew up being a swimmer. So I was always going and exercising a lot. It was like a big thing about how I grew up.
Okay.
It was just kind of a habit that, I mean, I did kind of like let go of it a little bit in undergrad, but I mean, I didn't like, nothing really changed. It was like a year that I didn't do any working out really. But I mean, I still like went running or jogging or something like that. It was like something stupid. I still worked out. But in general, I'm always working out. I don't know. I'm just an active person. So like I have to like get off the energy. So it's one of those, it's always something I have to do.
Probably yeah, work no, out. Absolutely. Especially as a male, you know, if we don't, you know, I firmly believe, you know, we are born to be active members of
regulates
society.
Everything, hormones, everything keeps you moving, right? Like it's all those things. Like if you stop moving, you start to deteriorate. Like, and I fully believe that doesn't matter how old you are. Like you can be like 15, 18, 25, 30, 35, 50. If you stop moving, if you stop doing things, stop being with your flexibility, stop with everything, you're going to start kind of deteriorating. I am kind of passionate about this stuff actually. But yeah, I definitely think that it's very important. Not even just for the man, women too. They have to work out. You have to be active because it also it's for your own hormone regulation. Yes. All these different things are great for you. Like it's just the best.
There's
like
really I said, no negative.
I'm working out. It's one of those things. Got to do it.
Absolutely. There's really no negative thing about it other than you know either overtraining or
yeah, obviously, yeah.
You can improper technique.
Yeah, hurt yourself, but
yeah. Other than that, you know, the benefits are endless almost.
Of course.
Now, I was going to ask you, but you kind of already mentioned this within the chat already. You are partnered.
Yeah, I have my husband.
Okay. Oh, wonderful. How long have you been married?
Oh, last January we got married. Not this year, a year and a half ago. So it's been a year and a half.
Well, congratulations to both of you.
Thank you.
Absolutely. All right. Now that I feel, you know, people kind of got a sense of who you are, where you come from, you know, let's, I guess I'll kind of lead us into this juicy topic here. And the way I want to kind of dive into this is, because I at one point was involved in the community as well. And so at what, I'm going to ask, at what age did you know you were gay? Let's start with that.
So this is a funny thing. Like, so I started realizing, but I think when I think back on it was like in the 9th grade. And
How
but
old
like I didn't like actually accept it or even like fully like articulated in my mind that like that's what this means. I was like, it was like the end of 10th grade into 11th grade that I remember fully like, so it was high school if you really think about it like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And now, at what point afterwards did you find the, at that point, I believe was just the LGB community, correct? Or was
I
it,
mean, I
we
don't
have,
think
no,
that they
you're a little
really
bit younger than I am, so
didn't
maybe.
really talk about the trans too much. Like it was still like
That's kind of like in the last 10
still like
years.
a weird little thing that people didn't talk about too much. And I grew up, I was living in Seattle at this time, and it was like I was in a liberal area, so like
Okay, you went to high
it was
school in
definitely something
Seattle?
that people would talk about. What?
You went to high school in Seattle?
Yeah, well, just outside because my dad was in the military, so I went to
Okay.
school in like it's the county that's across the water. You have to take a ferry to get to it. But so it's a little bit more conservative, but I mean, being from Florida, it's literally like
Nothing.
it's like it's so liberal. Like I don't even know how
Oh,
to
yeah.
describe it. They act like it's conservative. And like, I mean, there are some Trump signs, but at the same time, it's like
All the big tech money up there and stuff too.
it's so liberal. It's only like conservative because of the military. That's the only
Okay, yeah. Anytime you have the military around, you're
that's
gonna
where
have.
Banger is, because my dad was a submariner, so that's why we were it's where
Oh,
the Banger
okay.
submarine base is. So yeah, I mean, it really wasn't the trans thing wasn't like a huge big topic when it came to like the whole gay thing. Like obviously I think that they're okay, this is the craziest thing because like people did become trans like right after we graduated though. In high school no one talked about this kind of thing and it really never came up, and there were no trans people at my school that were like a thing. There were a few gay people that were like out, but like everyone just like, I mean, everyone knew about them, but like it was like not any, and they were shocking. And you know what I mean? It was still, and they were still like shocking to people. And this was like in our, the still Seattle liberal area. So
Right.
yeah, it was, everything was still just like, oh, you're gay. That's crazy. Like,
That's crazy.
you know what I mean? Like it was like that.
Oh, absolutely. So what was your, what led you, did you, were you involved with the LGBT community though at some point? Did you get behind it?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I feel like to some extent, I would say like 99% of gay men and I guess bisexual men as well, get involved in the community at some point and how they kind of start to try and accept themselves. And because obviously you want to, when you're going through that initial phase, and I can think back on this, it you really do want and crave being around like something that makes you feel like it's all good and you're doing the right thing and like affirmation, like you want to feel like you're being told you're doing the right thing and everything's going to be okay. Which in a lot of ways, a lot of people in the LGBT community like almost like get high off of this kind of thing where they almost like are in this kind of circle of affirmation all the time, which in itself is not good in the long run. But in a way, I think that's the beginning. Because in the beginning, of course, I was like very much like, yes, this is great. I need to be into this stuff because I'm gay. It's all about solidarity, da 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 da. You know what I mean? That kind of thing. So that you're, it's like better to be like with the herd, that you're in numbers, so you can feel safe in a way. And it's almost like a facade. So you, and as you get older, you kind of realize that it's not really like it all, it sounds great. Like, it sounds great. We all love each other. Everything's accepted. Everything's great, but it's not, everything's not accepted. There are rules. Like, very
yeah, right. Right. It's like, once you get into the club,
have,
the club
exactly,
has rules.
A hierarchy too.
Yeah.
And there's a victimhood hierarchy.
Can I ask you, what age did you become involved in the community?
Okay. So I think, and involved in the community is kind of like a loose term. It's more just like, I was supportive of it, and I was like being like, you
yeah,
know what I mean?
At what age did you attach yourself to it? Right?
Yeah. Okay. What age did I attach myself? Okay. This is a good question. Second year of college is, I think, what I fully, cause that's when I fully decided.
Is that about 20?
No, 19.
19.
Yeah.
You graduated a little early. High school. that's fine. The younger the better. You know what I mean?
No, I didn't graduate early. I was in my second year of college. So I was like, I think, no, I might have been 18, because it was one of those things, because the second year, because I turned 18.
And you graduated high school.
I did not graduate early. I'm a year off. I was 20.
Well, I meant graduate early. When I say graduate early, what I meant was you were 17 when you graduated high school. If you were 19 in your second year of college.
No, I was off. I was wrong. I was wrong. I was 18 when I graduated high school. I was abnormal. Like, I'm not a savant or anything.
No worries. I mean, that's about the average age.
But no. So I think I might have been 20. I don't know. I didn't think about it. But it was the second year of college. So 19, 20, you know what I mean? That area. And yeah.
That was in Florida State. College,
I was still dating girls.
But that was in Florida State, though?
Yeah.
Okay.
So you were subdued. What?
I just what you just said. You said you actually had dated girls at one point.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
I mean,
I guess that's not of course. There's a lot of women never do that. You're right.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't, I, you know,
surprise, surprise, it happened. Like, it happened. Damn, that was crazy. It just feels so long ago, but it's like, right, all the things that I feel like almost like I just think is like an evident thing that I almost feel like everyone just accepts, but it's like, I guess I do have to explain that. Yeah, no, because a lot of people never do that. So
it's a mixed bag, right? You know, yeah, everybody has their own journey, because it's like, it's your life, it's your sexuality. You don't have to explain it to anybody, and you owe nobody an explanation, right?
I agree with that. Yeah.
I find it's almost kind of weird how much people expect other people to be so open,
dissect
about their
everything.
Sexual, huh?
Yeah. So they can dissect everything and like decide. Well, that's also part of it, where like I said, where there's like a hierarchy within, mm-hmm, like the community. We're like, and so like, that's part of it. Like, even that is like part of the hierarchy, where like they'll sit there and be like, oh, you were with a woman, so it's like almost a stain on you. Like,
it's like they called it the gold standard gay.
I think that's what it's called, right?
If you've never dated a woman and you've never had sex with a woman, you're a gold standard gay. And then I don't know what, I can't remember what the other thing is. If then like the level down, they got, it's like karate belts.
I don't know, but yeah, exactly. they got their rankings, and that's just one of them. And it's like, because then you turn it into, that's just the little fun one that they have, because then they turn it into the whole victimhood one too, because it's all like, if you're not a black trans woman, you're not in charge of anything.
The ultimate victim.
Black trans disabled. Remember, you gotta, don't forget the disabled.
What? Like, how
no,
disabled,
I'm serious. You have to remember. I always
think
my head, I was thinking like hobbling trans black woman with the fucking crutches.
Like I thought the whole point of LGBT was literally it covered the different sexualities, right? So then, yeah, how being disabled a sexuality? Like, that's fetishizing at that point.
Well, I just think it's crazy. Like, I don't even know, because they do all these different things, and then they have like, what was the one that I just saw? I wish I could find it on my account.
It's a rabbit hole once you get out of this country.
There's like 100 genders or something that I was reading today on Twitter. I was literally reading some posts and it said there was 100 fucking genders. And I was like,
where?
Like, I don't even know. Like, I can't even think of anything that there's like, well, I mean, obviously there's a lot of things.
You know, Earth would be a lot more fun if you could find 100 different genitalia.
No, but then they're gonna say, look how obsessed with genitalia you are. That's all they're gonna say. Because
just correct me if I'm wrong, but if I believe if a man sticks his penis and another man's mouth. That is a what they
sounds
consider
kind of gay.
Kind of a gay act, a homosexual act,
kind of
right?
Gay to me.
but let's say you got a guy's dick in your mouth, but your dick is also in a vagina. That is a bisexual act.
Yeah, but it's not straight.
So I don't know. I don't know what it means if a zer's in my mouth.
Yeah, right. Exactly. But I mean,
and I'm sticking really my dick in them.
That out. I don't really want to try that out. Hygiene.
So what was, you know, you kind of touched on a little bit. What was your view of the community when you first entered upon it?
Okay, so I think I was really naive. So I was also really innocent because I grew up in this area where I didn't really do a lot of... I was a slave to my schedule when I was in high school growing up. So I was like very into swimming. So I never really had time to like do any crazy things. That's also why I think it took me so long to like come out of the closet, because I never really had time to even explore with people really, because it was like very fleeting, like any exploration that I ever even really. And you'd think as a swimmer, like, oh, he's in the locker room. I'm like, no, like I literally never even thought about it like that, especially in the locker room. It was never even like that.
If you're a serious athlete,
so always
a
fantasizing thing about it, because I know that's a big gay fantasy. Like everyone talks about that. It's come up so many times. And it's like no one was doing any of that. No one was getting off in the showers. No one was doing anything like that. That's so cringe. I couldn't even imagine. That would have been so uncomfortable, just like fully. Like, so
It's always the guys who weren't athletes.
Exactly. Yes.
And they go to talk to you.
They fantasize so hard about athletes. Yes. And they have this idea about the locker room. They're obsessed with it.
They're like, tell me about the time in the locker room. I'm like, what? Where I was fucking pissed off at the rest of my
bro. It's like
like, what, you mean that time in the locker room where I was pissed off at my teammates because they didn't train hard enough and we lost? Do you want me
to exactly. So I was actually rageful, and then I left early, didn't even shower because I was so pissed, and we all yelled at each other. Yeah, that one. Yeah, go jerk off to that. Exactly. You know what I mean?
It was like, you want to hear just about the constant bullying and us jabbing each other? Like, there's or how about somebody dropped their towel and they just laughed at your dick? There was no.
No, exactly. Exactly.
Like,
exactly.
Hey, look, Tony's balls are tiny. You know what I mean? Like,
and we did whip each other with the towels.
Oh, yeah.
But that shit hurt. It wasn't an arousing thing.
I remember the one time my testicle got swollen from whipping with the towel.
Exactly. Yeah. And you got like a perfect,
great
like freaking like mark on you for like a week. Yeah, it's not cute. So,
or you hear about hazing.
The Hunger Games in there. And it's not like, that's how I'd really describe it. It's not really a fantasy. It's more like it's Hunger Games. That's how
remember hazing?
Yes, exactly. It's permanent hazing. Exactly. Anybody rush for fraternity, that's
stories.
What it's like. So I'll be honest with you, there's not really, which they also fetishize that shit too. So there's that too. I can't even bring up anything. Anything I say is like a way to like disprove it. They're like, nope, but they have a fantasy.
They're all going to be hitting you up on Twitter after this. Be like, please, please tell me.
Tell me everything.
Was it your coach?
I just know Ty was getting up to no good. It's like, someone will make up some shit.
Just your coach got to be in there just. All the swimmers.
Oh my god, yeah. Ridiculous. Yeah. But okay, so anyway, yeah, I was a slave to my schedule, so I never had time to really explore these things. So when it came to the community, I was very naive. And I remember there was this thing in high school that I thought was really cringy. It was called the Gay Straight Alliance, the GSA. It was literally it was so cringy, dude. And I remember I just like thought it was so cringy. But anyway, so I never was involved with any of that in high school, obviously. And also I was in the closet, so obviously, because I think I also thought anyone involved with that was obviously gay as fuck. So like
there's gay and then there's like too gay.
Gay as fuck. Exactly. So it was almost like also like the dare kids. It's almost like that, where like it was like that weird
there's square, then there's two square.
Yeah.
There's square, and then you know, there's like the fascist and then the Nazi that reports you so you get arrested.
Exactly. And so I thought they were really cringy in high school. And then in college, I also just, I didn't really join any of their clubs or anything, but I was like, I do remember going to like a gay pride parade in Tampa. And I will say, I should give this detail. I do have a gay uncle that was awesome growing up, so I had a really good perception of like gay people. And he wasn't like a cringy like effeminate gay. He was very like, he was a masculine outdoorsy like take you on river trips, all kinds of awesome things. Like, he would show you everything.
I have a question for you.
What's up?
When you were growing up, how old was your uncle?
Oh, he's like 25, 30 years older than me.
And he's so like my follow-up question to that, if he would have never told you he was gay...
I never would have known. My mom told me. Like, it was one of those things when I was like, I think I was like 9 years old or something, when someone said something, and then like I asked my mom about it, and I was like, what? I was so confused, because I also didn't even really, and then like she said it and talked about it. Mm-hmm. And just like, didn't seem weird at all. So I just was like, because also the way they handle it was very chill. They don't care. And
yeah, very adult.
My family got over that, the whole gay thing, the generation before, with my uncle and my uncle's cousin. So I also have a cousin that's gay from the generation above us. And so he's also like in their, they're in their 50s now. And they're both really successful too. So it's also not like there's no like gay tragedy in my family where the gay is all like tragic in the corner over there. Like, everyone thinks it's so sad. Like, it just was never a theme. So everyone ended up like being okay with it, even though on that side of the family, my mom's side, because they're both on my mom's side.
Yeah, good role models.
They're very conservative on my mom's side. I would say they are very conservative on my mom's side. And they still are to this day. But they got over the whole gay thing, and they did have a bad reaction at first. I know I'm not allowed to say that technically, and they'll all deny it, but like, they, I know the truth, but like, I know the truth from the gays. They told me the truth anyway. So I know how everyone reacted. But
so you're in college, yeah. You're in college getting, your first, dipping your toe, the first getting, attaching yourself to the community.
Yeah. So I didn't have any bad opinions of like gay people in general, but then I went to a gay pride parade in Tampa, and I remember thinking it was kind of a lot of nudity. Like, people were a little out there. Like, I thought I was in Ybor City, so obviously it was going to be crazy, but I mean, like, I just went there. I was with my boyfriend at the time, and it was just kind of an interesting experience. We didn't do anything that crazy, because I've also never like dated anybody that was like really out there and crazy like that. I mean,
well, yeah, I mean, it's your sexuality, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's not something you should wear on your sleeve.
I also was a little more conservative about it, and always, I think, in general, I just never was overly obsessed with like wearing it on my sleeve, quote unquote. Like, it's like, I'm not gonna lie, I would never lie. If someone came up, you gay? Like, I obviously would say, yeah.
You're not running outdoors. You're saying, I'm gay.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I'm not like screaming it.
Have some decorum in society.
Yeah, right? And I'm sure you can tell, like, when I talk or if I get excited about something, like, do you know what I mean? Like, I'll get excited. Like, I don't know. And so I think you can tell. So, So it's one of those things. I've never felt like I was hiding it, but I also wasn't always trying to project it everywhere or like make it my identity, because it wasn't something I feel like is really worthy of making an identity out of, because right. I've always thought that was weird. And that's part of, so I was good with the community thing for a little bit. And I remember I had like an old experience on Twitter where I was like talking to all these like different, like, I was very, so I had like a Twitter 1.0, like, my own. Someone's gonna have to try and find it one day, but good for you. Good, like, good fucking luck. And I got locked out of it, so it's actually permanently out there, so I have no idea how to get rid of it, so it's still there somewhere.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah, I don't know.
I got flat out banned.
Yeah, oh no, it's like a random, but I never was that crazy on it. It was just me from high school. It was my high school account that I just still had. So if anyone wants to go see like what I ate for lunch, like, do you know what I mean? It was one of those
that my time. Generation had MySpace.
Oh, I mean, I had MySpace too. So right at the tail end, I was
still,
I
also there. Somewhere.
I still remember building in, having my theme song. Loved that shit. That,
right?
It was a superior, even to this day, now I think back on it, truly was so superior. And also the friend ranking. I
saw right.
The disaster of people just, like, the Gen Z does not understand. They don't get that shit. The mayhem that we had that we were forged in. They think, oh, we're doing our thing on TikTok, that, whatever.
Yeah,
like, you don't understand the friend ranking. Shit would change
the brutalness of it.
And you show up to school the next day, like, oh,
you're like, I see that I'm not friends anymore. What the fuck's going on? You're like, yeah. We don't talk.
Mm-hmm. Yep, you see a whole friend group disintegrate before your eye, and like right in front of you. Like, it's, yeah, good times. Oh, but yes, I was on Twitter, and I remember like being involved, like talking to all these other accounts, and they were all very obsessed with this show that I've never watched. They're obsessed with RuPaul. Whoa. And the Drag Race, and I've never watched it. And so I just like, and there was these like weird accounts that like they make their whole personality about it, or they were making their whole personality about like some other reality TV show. Not that I'm against reality TV, love that shit, so I'm not gonna pretend, but like it's like I got really uncomfortable after like a couple years or a year and a half of like going, because I had this like group that I was a part of where they were like really like pushy and weird, and they would like talk about all these gay things, and all the, like, they would meet up with each other and from Twitter, like, and I thought it was really weird. And they would talk about, and it was, they were all obsessed with these reality shows. And I know there's a lot of different kinds of weird little holes you can go down in Twitter and stuff like that, especially back then, but it was just so weird. And I remember being on a trip, and I remember like them, like we were in our little group chat thing, and they were just so weird and like pushy, and they were trying to like, they were like getting mad at one of the other members of the chat, and they were trying to do this weird gang up thing. And I just think this was just so cringy, and I'd never even met any of these people. So I thought it was just so weird that this was like a whole thing. And then they, anyway, so I just thought, I started to feel like gay people are really petty and catty. And cause I didn't really like have that many gay friends at FSU, cause obviously there's not many, that many gay people there that are all out and crazy. If there are some, but I mean, which there are everywhere, but like the ones I did have that were gay, like they weren't like crazy or stressful. Like one of my neighbor was gay in at FSU. So I remember we would hang out all the time. He was really cool. Yeah, just a cool friend, you know what I mean? But he wasn't like cringy or stressful. So then on Twitter is when I realized that all these gays are actually like super catty and stressful and rude and like bitchy, like, and they'll like come for your whole life for nothing.
Right.
And it's like, the fuck? It's like, so I didn't really have any like start into realizing how like kind of toxic the community can be when they get like obsessed with something or crazy about something. And then, or also just like how they'll cancel somebody for like not agreeing with something. I didn't notice that until like the later years in my college, in undergrad, which is like around when Trump first won, because like I supported Trump when he first won. And that was a big problem.
Big no-no.
This is my big realization that like it's a full crazy situation where you can't deviate.
Yeah.
And if you deviate even slightly, you're done forever, and you'll lose all your friends. And it's like, because that's kind of what happened. Even though I only had like three friends, I only have like one still. That's like the only one that was like my neighbor. He's chill. He's not like a freak. He didn't really care. But I lost all my friends.
So before we start to switch this conversation into our views of the LGBT community now, you know, I kind of want to touch base almost on what I said about your uncle. You know, it seemed like the LGBT community almost has a way of force feminization, where I'd say the gays of yesteryear had more substance to them.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
figuratively and literally too.
Exactly. You know, I firmly believe, you know, if you're a man, it doesn't matter if you're gay, it doesn't matter if you're bi, it doesn't matter if you're straight. To be a man in society is a amazing thing to have been born as. Not to take anything away from women, but, you know, look, if shit hits the fan, do I want a man having my back, or do I want a woman having my back?
Well, I mean, I think it depends on the situation, but I think I totally understand what you're saying.
Exactly. Not to just deter for.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm not. You're not being misogynist.
Well, what we're saying is, you know, men are uniquely always in that position if they're capable of. They're the first responders. They're the first helpers. You know,
generally, yeah.
It's going to be a man dragging you out of a fire. It's going to be a man running into the burning building. You know, it's. Mm-hmm. But we're also so gifted because, you know, we don't have to worry about most of the time when we walk out at night.
Oh yeah, we don't have the fear, and there's nothing that ever has to be something that you're worried about, because that's something that, because I have a couple, my two sisters, they like will tell you they get nervous if they're outside. Like, it's one of those things by themselves, and I get nervous for them. So it's one of those mm-hmm. things where like obviously there's a difference in that regard.
Right. Yeah. And you know, like I said, you know, the gays of yesteryear, you know, they used to be men. You know, they used to be capable. They used to be confident.
Yep.
They cared more about their own character than they did pushing their whatever kind of sex it was they were like the most into the public eye. Because yeah. Like, you know, like you said, and one of the things I'd say you're very fortunate is having grown up almost around the military. Because they teach you decorum, they teach you respect, their structure, and you can also see what hard work can do for you.
Exactly.
You know, and you can see what happens when you make yourself into a man. It doesn't matter if you're gay, bi, or you know, we'll leave the trans thing for another time.
Yeah.
But as a man, you know, like the world is your oyster. And it doesn't even matter if you're a bottom, right? You can still be a man. I've proved
no,
that.
I agree with you. No, I agree with that too. 100%.
Yeah. You know,
justice for the bottom.
I've proved that. It doesn't matter if you take a dick in your ass. You can still be yourself. You know, it doesn't have to, you don't have to start talking more feminine and then start dressing like, you know, as if you want
to
be.
Oh yeah, exactly. You don't projecting. Have to take identity over it. It's
yeah,
like,
exactly. You know, and like when you first started associating with yourself, the roommate you had, was he kind of the same way as like you guys are just two guys just hanging out, just talking, like normal people. Yeah.
Like my roommate in college?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, he was great. I actually had three roommates because I was in a suite, if that makes sense, for the dorm situation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, no, they were all really cool. Like, I got along with them great. I thought it was fine. Yeah, we actually never had a problem. It was actually really cool.
Right. And going back, you know, I feel one of the reasons, like you said, everybody might have gravitated towards the community is because we started seeing in the media as if you were to come out as gay, it was almost certainty that you would be attacked or banished. Yeah. But I can tell you myself, you know, I grew up in Florida till the age of 10, and then I got moved to Central Maine.
Yeah.
And again, I'm about 7 years older than you, so almost two graduating classes above you.
Yeah.
When we were in school, to discuss your sexuality in an open manner was considered bad taste.
It's weird, yeah.
You know, teachers, if you ever ask the teacher, even if they were married.
Oh, yeah, ask them about their spouse. They shut that down.
The default answer is, it's none of your business.
Yeah, they shut it down. Yeah, even when I was in school. Yeah, no, they did it when I was in school, too. Like, people would ask random personal questions. Shut it down. Like, it's not a thing. Give us, like, the most basic answer. Shut it down. Like, it's like, yeah, that was how it was. I don't know how it shifted so fast. Because that's still how it was for me when I was in school too, like the 7 or 8 years after you. So mm-hmm. It's like, I don't know what the fuck happened. Like,
and we're here in a second. We're going to take a little bit a break. And then when we come back, what I'd like to dive into is from the moment you attach yourself, and you already kind of started talking about, you started noticing the hierarchy, right? The hypocrisy, you know, come here because we're all accepting. But once you get here, you better conform. So, Ty, I'm gonna give us a little break here.
Okay, yeah, you said that. Sorry.
And then we're going to come back into the My First Amendment Right podcast, and we're going to tackle current events. Sound good?
That sounds great.
All right, we will be right back, everybody.